your determination. And the second is like it too, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love, agape, all those words are agape, purposeful goodwill. You should have purposeful goodwill for the other person. Whatever you want done to you is the way Jesus put it in another place. That's what you should be doing to them. And people are freaking out going, I can't do that. And even now, people are going, I can't do that. I mean, how can I love people the way Jesus loved me? I mean, I don't have a, well, God never expected you to do that on your own. And this is cool. What I realized is just the opposite of man dealing with man. God's law is absolutely positive. Do you understand that? God's law is saying you have to do this, not you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't. He said you will do this. But he didn't leave you out there on your own. He has shed the love of God abroad, Paul said, in your hearts by the Spirit of God whom he has placed in you. He didn't expect you to be able to do it on your own. He expected the power of love to be given to you so that you can walk in these things. So when you think about the idea, well, you know, we could just do anything if there's no law. Well, no, because love constrains you. If you've been born of his Spirit, you have his Spirit shed abroad in your heart. If his Spirit is shed abroad in your hearts, you don't need somebody to write down what you should do and what you shouldn't do, because he will tell you. And you follow after it, not through your own devices, not by your own ability. You do it by his power that has been placed in you, which is what Paul went to all this trouble to say and point out to us in the first place. That fullness is in you. In Jesus is all of the fullness of God in a body. And he's in you, and you're contained in him. So you have that ability as well. And all of the sin, all of what drags you down, all of what's being held over you has been cut away, and then it's been blotted out, erased. So don't go there. Amen. That's the truth. These words are true. Amen. Yeah, right? Ephesians 3. Which I allude to frequently. I speak it before him virtually every day. Coming to understand where Paul said that your faith has to be rooted and grounded in this love. You have to experience the agape. You have to come to experience the purposeful good will of Christ, which is Hooperbalo. And we go through that all the time, right? Okay, it's exceeding. Well, what's that? Well, that's surpassing. Well, what's that? Well, that's transcending. Well, what's that? That means to exceed physical reality or human knowledge. All of this that we've talked about this morning is absolutely supernatural. You can't see the circumcision without hands. You can't see that you're raised up. You could see that you got baptized, okay? But the resurrection, the energy of God in you is not something somebody, you can see the effects of it in someone's life, but you can't actually see it happen. It's one of those waves of light that's very present and very powerful, but you can't see it. Because you have to reach the place where, what Paul says over and over, you have to walk by, through faith and not through simply what you observe. You can't trust your lying eyes, right? But it's all true. And when the writer of Hebrews talks about the idea of reaching that place where you no longer have a sin consciousness, that means you have no, you're not even conscious of sin. Why? Because first of all, the ordinances have been moved. What was held over your head, Jesus took away and nailed to the cross. Just turn around and look at it. It's still there. It's affecting you right now. And he has forgiven us all the transgressions. Not just from here back, but from here on, period. Because it's not there against us. Then you begin to lean into the love. You begin to focus on the purposeful goodwill instead of all the ordinances. You don't even pay attention to the ordinances anymore because they don't have anything to do with you. All you want to know is, how shall I approach God with purposeful goodwill, total good intention in my intentions and motivations and my desires and my affections and my deep thoughts and meditation? How can I approach the people around me with purposeful goodwill, no malice in my heart, and certainly no striving? And you go back to Ephesians, gotta stop. Go back to Philippians 4, verse 8. We've been through 6 and 7 a lot, but you remember 8 starts off as loipon. The Greek word there means furthermore. Whatever, whatsoever, whatever things are true and honest, whatsoever things are right and pure, listen, whatsoever things are prosphiles, that means engaged in brotherly kindness. That's how you treat people. You continue to focus, and it continues on, words well spoken, excellent and appropriate praise. Consider, logizomai, focus on all the way down to the conclusion. Pay attention to those things. If you do that, that love leads you, that love guides you, that love becomes perfected, completed in you. And the rest of the stuff just falls off. You don't ever have to be concerned about it anyway. And if you find yourself one day because the enemy is accusing you, just point him to the blood on the cross and say, just go right over there again. He won't. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for your word this morning. I thank you for the power contained in them, for they're your words. I thank you for the authority of them, Jesus, because they are your words and they will change people's lives. Hallelujah.